Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Here are some of the questions we'll be discussing today, Wednesday, March 27th, 2013. Can you guess which administration that favors gun control for the American people just voted against gun control for the American military-industrial complex? We're also going to be talking about the USDX longs. They're higher than ever. We're also going to be talking about the economy, and we're going to be talking about interesting times. First segment of the program, we're going to talk about gold repatriation. We're going to be talking about Texas, state sovereignty, and many, many other items. And you can always call us if you have a question for us or you would like to comment on our discussion at that time. Is 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191 is the listeners, you folks, call-in number. And that is for the 4 o'clock Eastern Time program. This program plays a dozen so or more times throughout the day and morning the following day. And for you listeners, you can always email us your question at questions@dgscoins.com. We'll answer them on the live program, and you'll get to listen to your answer. So if you can't listen to the 4 o'clock program live, that's 800-596-8191. And let's get right to the market prices today. I know everybody is all excited to see what gold and silver has done today. They're great. Great buying opportunities, folks. You know, you just sit down and you wait, you wait, you wait. It's going to get away from you. You have gold up $6. They had it down earlier in the day, 1607, just a few cents shy of 1607. We had a low of 1595 earlier in the day. Silver down 6 pennies. 2880 for silver. Yeah, platinum up 7 today at 1587. And palladium was up 5 at $772. The USDX today is trading higher, 0.38 at 83.25. Crude oil continues to climb, 0.15 at 96.49. And the markets today, they were all over the page. You know, European markets were all down a little over 1%, along with the Asian markets overnight. And you had a little bit of a mixed bag in the markets today. The Dow fell 33 points today at 14,526. The NASDAQ was up 4 at 3256. S&P basically unchanged, 1562. The interesting note on the day is the 10-year yield, 1.85. 1.85, so you can see where people think that they're going to for a little bit of security. And the euro, that took a little bit of a hit overnight, 1.27 and three quarters, 1.2774. And, of course, you can always see the relationship to that into the U.S. dollar. And voila, a little bit of strength in the U.S. dollar. But as far as I'm concerned now, all of that is just make-believe. It's just fictitious. It's numbers.
It's as real as the money in your bank account.
Yep. Yep.
Which is also fictitious and make-believe, but as long as we believe in it. Kind of like Dumbo the flying elephant, as long as we kind of hold that feather in our trunk, we can fly. But if we find out the feather is a phony feather, then I'm not so sure.
Well, I think I saw today, and I don't have the report in front of me, but actually it came out yesterday, consumer confidence, and it's just, you know, it'll be interesting to see what April's read is, but consumers are feeling more upbeat about the U.S. economy in February than they have been in the last 2 months. As you had the fiscal cliff worries have finally subsided. Yeah, they subsided, but they still had to sign it was an executive order. I can't remember what he had to sign in order to extend the payments so the economy could keep going until for another 6 months. But no one seems to be concerned about that. But the reading came well in above the 62 reading that everyone was expecting. It was 69.6, and that was it's up over 10 points from 58.4 in January. And you know what, Al? It's all due to the stock market. That's how it makes people feel.
Well, I understand, and the government's in a position where they can manipulate public attitudes. To a significant degree, they can't do it entirely, but they can to a significant degree, almost like stepping on the accelerator pedal in your automobile, making them go faster, go slower, and the public, to some degree, dutifully follows along like, you know, your dog running alongside of the car when you go to leave, pull out of the driveway, and the dog is following you down the street. All you got to do is whistle, and the dog comes. Government's been able to do that with the people also, and this will touch on one of the articles we'll try to get to today where we talk about the longs on the U.S. dollar index. Because there's a graph in there that we won't be able to show the people, of course, over radio programs, but we'll describe it. And the significance, you look at the graph and you say, ho, 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 I can see that next month is going to be pretty interesting. We'll see where we are on the graph next month, and we'll get to that in a while, but it plays into this idea of public confidence. People are feeling better about the economy right now. They are feeling secure, and that means they're looking at perhaps short-term trends and even more so short-term hype and propaganda, but fundamental trends are still there. Long-term trends are still there. From my perspective, there is a problem coming this way. And those people that are sitting back and saying, hooray, hooray, happy days are here again. Well, maybe they are and maybe they're not. Maybe that's a foolish position. We'll see.
It's really not any different than the people of Cyprus. They saw what was happening in Greece. They saw what was happening in the other countries, in Spain. And they got caught.
Never happened here.
Never happened here.
And that's really an interesting insight. Because you can sit back and say, how could those people in Cyprus be so damn stupid that they thought it could never happen in Cyprus? Well, I mean, if people think it could never happen here in the United States, well, of course, that's just obvious and common sense. But what we're touching on is our confidence in the existing political system here in the States any more solid, viable, reasonable than the confidence that the Cypriots had in their government up until a couple of weeks ago. People have an inclination. We want to believe in the government and the nation, in our political surroundings. We want to believe in them. We have a tendency to do that. And what that belief does is cloud our ability to perceive objectively and say, wait a second, there's trouble here. So here we are. And
you know, a lot of those people, you know, that did know, they took care of themselves. They did what they needed to do. And, of course, that's what we encourage folks who listen to this program and are aware of what's happening. You need to do what you need to do. No one else is going to do it. Your stockbroker's not going to do it. Had a call from a gentleman today. We also have a caller. We have Ken from Minnesota. But he told me today, he says, my wife wants me to buy gold and silver. She thinks the world's going to come to an end. He says, I don't buy that scenario. He says, my stockbroker tells me, and I said, well, that's your problem right there. Your stockbroker is telling you. Do you know why he's telling you that? And the guy was clueless, and I probably lost a trade. But he didn't want to hear it. But so they ended up getting gold and silver. But, I mean, it's how and who they listen to and that oftentimes shapes their thoughts. And
That's true. That's bound to happen. But one of the things we try to encourage people to do is to look at the fundamentals, not because I say so, Melody says so, anyone else says so. Look at the fundamentals, see if you agree with what we think are the fundamentals, and then you make your own decision. But you've got to look and use your own eyes, your own ears, and make your own decisions.
No, Al, it is because I say so. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have Ken. I'm moving on right from there. We have Ken from Minnesota. Good afternoon, Ken.
Hello. I got a question for Al, and that's this, and I'd like to preface the question, but does an IOU have an expiration date? And my reason for asking this question is the Federal Reserve quit printing paper currency in 2009, and you won't find a bill after that if you go to the store or anywhere. And so it's basically an IOU when you set it out. Does an IOU have an expiration date? If a person doesn't enforce it within a certain amount of time, is it worthless?
Well, an IOU wouldn't have an expiration date unless there was some sort of a. It would depend on the agreement. It's conceivable that I owe you $1,000 up until, you know, March 30th of 2014. I'm not sure how you could structure that, but I'd say generally the answer is no, there's no expiration date on it. I can imagine maybe under certain circumstances you might be able to write it into an agreement. But an IOU is pretty much just a flat-out debt. It's not conditional. IOU, not on condition. It's an unconditional debt, in my opinion. All right, so what do we have with the Federal Reserve notes? Now, you're the first person to tell me that the Federal Reserve notes, they stopped printing them in 2009, and I find that hard to believe. It's the first time I've heard this, but it is conceivable.
You can check it out real easy.
No, here, let me explain what I'm thinking. It may be that they continue to print the 2009 series, but they're still printing more Federal Reserve notes. They are replacing them. They haven't become scarce where you can't find any. I haven't looked closely at the Federal Reserve
since 2011 or 2012 on the dates.
Well, I get that. I understand that, but I'm just saying it may be. If what you're saying is true, the only way it makes sense to me is if the 2009. They just keep on printing 2009 and 2010, 2011, 2012, and they keep saying 2009 on the bills, but it's not accurately reflecting the current date when they're produced. Just because these bills, they don't last for more than maybe 6 months on average, if I understand correctly. There's they suffer wear and tear, and they disappear just from. So they have to be removed from society, from the economy. So somebody's replacing them, putting new bills out there. But I don't know what date they're putting on the bills. Yeah, I'll take a look when we get done with this program, or maybe even during the break, I'll take a look pull a couple of bills out of my own wallet and see if what you're saying is true or false. But yeah, it's surprising. I haven't heard this. Go ahead. Okay, well, how long have you known this?
I actually heard it on another program over the weekend, the Bob Brinker's Money Talk.
Okay. Well, it's news to me, but
I gained knowledge. And they had actually checked the website of whatever Federal Reserve or Treasury or whoever it was. So, and they said they're not printing it. So,
that's pretty interesting. That indicates, you know, it's hard to say. It doesn't make sense. Well, it must make sense, but it doesn't make common sense. Why would they stop? Why would they stop printing the bills in 2009? What happened back then to cause this change? Have you heard on the program you were listening to or where you heard from, did they give you any indication of what might have caused this change in 2009?
No, they did not. Just what I had told you. But, I mean, to me, it's like they're getting ready to take the currency out of the market. So, and that's why I asked about an IOU. Could they declare it worthless because it's over 3 years old or something?
Well, you know, they have. They've done it in the past insofar as a silver certificate, for example. If you had a silver certificate for $1, you could take it down to the banks and get a silver dollar in return for your silver certificate. But they cut that off in 1968. They stopped printing silver or coining silver coins in 64, but in 68, they stopped redeeming silver certificates for silver dollars. Now, they still had that one IOU is out there. There are silver certificates that you can find in coin shops and the rest of that right now, but no one is going to redeem them for a silver dollar right now. So they canceled the IOU. Pardon me?
My daughter has one of them. And right underneath where it says United States of America, it's in small black print, redeemable for silver.
Yep.
And the bill hadn't changed other than they took that small print off saying redeemable for silver.
Right. The point is that it is possible to change that IOU. That's essentially what it is. That silver certificate was essentially an IOU. Said, if you want to come in here and trade this piece of paper for one silver dollar, we will give you that one silver dollar. And then they changed their mind and said, nope, never mind.
So they got a precedent to follow them.
Well, the way they operate, what is their precedent? Their precedent is that the public didn't riot. There's the precedent. They were able to renege on their debt, and the public did not take to the streets. And that's the real precedent we're talking about. It's not a matter of do we follow the law, because the government, you know, I don't know what your position is on this, but I'm skeptical that the government hardly ever follows the law. But they are concerned with appearing to follow the law. They are concerned with whether or not the public's going to take to the streets with pitchforks and torches and the rest of that sort of thing. That disturbs them. And if they can get away with it once, then they'll sit back and say, I think we can do it again. That would be my read on that. Does that make any sense to you, Ken?
Yes, sir. And I thank you for your program. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for your call, Ken. Melody, you want to add anything? We've got, 40 seconds to the break or thereabouts? Melody? Melody, what did Melody do? Did she sneak off?
No, I'm here.
She turned on, you turned on your mute button, didn't you?
I think that's something we need to follow up on, and we will, and perhaps we can update the listeners.
No, I'll find out. I'll take a look in my wallet here during the break. I don't do the radio program with my wallet. It's in the next room. So I will have to go to the other room and look, and we'll see what kind of dates we have on the bills I have in my wallet. All two of them.
But I'll tell you what, there is a lot of speculation that's going on with what is happening, what happened, how did it happen, what's going to happen. And there's so much misinformation, so much sensationalism that's being driven. And these are very serious times. People really need to be careful. In fact, even Jim Sinclair said, he says he's amazed at some of these article writers. He says some of them, they're under fake names. That's float around in the gold community. We've been talking of, you just have to be careful, folks. Learn. read, but be careful how you interpret a lot of these things. But
we'll talk more about this in a moment. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And now it's time for Melody to tell us about her special du jour.
Yes, we have Mint State 62 $5 Liberties. Now, everyone knows that I love the AU $5 Liberties. It's a beautiful a fractional piece. You get great performance, great privacy out of that item. You can upgrade this coin, and basically I was able to buy a batch of them. Not too many. I bought 50 of them at a low price. You can actually purchase a Mint State 62 $5 Liberty gold piece certified by NGC or PCGS for $540, and that's about $40 off the regular price for a Mint State 62, and going for just a few dollars more than what an AU $5 Liberty can go for. So I was able to get a really good deal on these from my buyer. They're beautiful coins, a lot of mixed dates in there. You can buy one or 50 of them. So they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Terrific savings on a Mint State 62 $5 Liberty gold piece. 1-800-375-4188. And for the late night listeners, I will hold a batch out for you. And even if we go over the 50, I'll make sure there is something for you. So, but you got to give us a call. And if it's late in the evening or too early in the morning, please make sure you leave a message and we'll make sure we give you a call back. And if you have any questions for today's program, make sure you email us questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. And if you have any comments on our discussions or questions, you may call us at 1-800-596-8191. Do not get that confused with our business line. This is the call-in listener line at 1-800-596-8191.
Okay, we Ken called in from, where did Ken call from? Minnesota, to say that he'd heard that they were not printing any new bills since 2009. All I can say is I've looked in my wallet, and I have a $100 bill, and it says Series 1996. I don't believe it was. I presume it's been printed since then, but regardless, it says Series 1996. Look at the $50 bill in my wallet. It also says Series 1996, which I believe corresponds to the date when this was of issue, although I think it was probably printed later than that. I have a $10 bill in my wallet that says Series 2006. All right. And then I have a $1 bill in my wallet, which also says Series 2006. Now, the interesting thing about this is we have a number of different dates on these dollar bills that I have in my wallet, but none of them are later than 2009. Now, that's it actually does correspond a little bit to what Ken was saying. It's not as if they are all dated 2009, but I don't have one. Looking at four, an assortment of $4 bills, I don't have one that's later than 2009. That doesn't prove anything, because we're only looking at four bills, and it could be that it's just random distribution. I don't. I just don't happen to have one later. But it is consistent.
Well, you're in Oregon.
Yeah, it might be. If we're probably using, I don't know, Confederate money here if we look around a little bit, but so Ken may have a point. We don't have proof on this yet, but Ken may have a point that perhaps they are not producing any new dollar bills that are at least dated as part of a series later than 2009. Here we are in 2013. We're 4 years.
All right. Well, you know, everything is the digital world, and even if they do create money out of thin digits, it's still there. The debt's still there and still has to be paid for, easily erased. You get a little bit of the computers going down, and there goes your information. But let's go ahead and talk about the gold repatriation now.
All right, let me pull up my my notes on this. Gold repatriation. All right, let me scroll around here a little bit. All right, here's the problem.
Well, before you go, we got Jim from West Virginia calling.
All right, Jim.
All right.
Where's that candy, Jim?
I'll never tell.
Uh-huh.
I rehypothecated a few times after I used it.
I see. That's a little bit of an ugly thought. I'm not sure how to try to figure that out exactly, but that's a little bit of
rehypothecating
used candy.
What would you like to say, Jim?
Oh, this is very, very good, very constructive. If you go to roadtoruta.com, Vic Swear, there is an interesting explanation, his interpretation of the new bills, which, if I remember correctly, say Series 2009.
Okay.
So it is the left-hand bill looks an awful lot like a Federal Reserve. Now, to the right-hand bill, looks much more interesting, and I'll just leave it at that. But, yeah, I've kind of noticed this. Now, I've heard stories, all of these in the new bills, so that whenever the corporation goes down, blah, 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 I don't know what all it means. But, yeah, the new bills, which have yet to be released, look very different. And you can look into it and see what you think.
Well, you might be right. I've seen that bill at I've seen the bill that you're talking about and the explanation that Bixwear's provided. That's probably 2 years old anyway. It might be longer than that. I'm not sure. The implication of the bill is they thought it implied that we were going back to a gold standard. That was my understanding.
Right.
Is that your understanding also?
It is mine that there's some kind of a transition currency, but like Bob Chapman said for years, whatever the new currency is, it'll have to be backed by gold or something for it to be acceptable. Now, what the ratio will be, I don't know, but, you know, that observation about the new bills, I've been kind of paying attention. Yeah, nothing beyond 2009 in the older bills.
Well, that's interesting.
It makes you wonder
what has happened or what have they anticipated happening. Do you suppose they plan to do something in 2009, and it turns out that was they had to put it on the back of on the back burner after the 2008-2009 recession started? Do you think
that's
that altered their plans?
Yeah, that's what I think. But I have this set of rose-colored glasses, which my mother gave me, which I keep breaking all the time because they don't work anymore. But yeah, I thought the Federal Reserve was going to go down. When their charter expired, which I think was in December, I've been, you know, always hope against hope that somehow or another something was going to happen. I remember the stock market collapse of 87. My dad and I were sure that the system was coming down and that the corporation would go bankrupt, blah, 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 yeah, yeah. But I don't know what it means, but the observation about the bills is correct. And the interesting thing is that the new bills do say 2009. So that's pretty much the only thing I had to contribute. But, yeah, we can only surmise and make guesses. They're playing pretend and extend with the current monetary system, but I can't help but feel the cracks that are occurring in the foundation. Something else I've noticed about tyrants. Remember when we were bombing Baghdad and there was Baghdad Bob saying, oh, the Republican Guard is forcing the invaders back or whatever, with bombs going off behind him? I don't think we'll ever get any. Oh, yeah, when we were taking Tokyo, Tokyo Rose was saying that the Japanese forces were being victorious. I don't think we'll ever get anything out of the mainstream media except all of a sudden one day we're going to wake up and, whoops, everything has changed. Your currency is devalued. There's been a bank holiday, yada, yada, and it's all going to come apart. But, yeah, I think those bills have been printed in anticipation because they may just say, oh, it's a gold-backed currency. Yeah, where's the gold? Who's sitting on it? And how many times has it been rehypothecated? So I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is that that's, the new bills do say 2009, and they're supposedly sitting in vaults.
It is. Well, here's what the new bills say 2009. They presumably do not reflect any of the – they don't include any of the indicators that we might be going back to a gold-based currency. For whatever reason, that something happened in 2009 where perhaps if Bixwear is correct, and I'm not saying he is or he's not, but if he's correct, something was going to happen dramatic with our money, and for whatever reason it's been postponed, and therefore there's a law back there about 2009. Some intense research should probably uncover a law or an executive order where someone said, okay, we're going to a new currency. And then they had to put it on hold. They can't perhaps make a post-2009 currency that perhaps doesn't reflect gold. So what they're going to do is all what they're printing right now is they'll print it. They'll just put the 2009 serial series on it and say, yeah, this is still coming from 2009. The point in all of this is that we live in interesting times, all right, which we say is half – we say it half-jokingly, but the truth is there are extraordinary things happening behind the scenes. What is the reason why we don't have a Series 2013 dollar? What is the reason we don't have a 2012, 2011, 2010 dollar? It appears we are now getting more confirmation that everything ended in 2009. Something's going on, and all by itself. If something is going on, it tells you that if you're sensible, you are going to prepare, even if you don't know exactly what's happening. You still have reason to believe something funny's going on here. And sooner or later, we're going to get caught with a big surprise, much the same as Cyprus was recently caught with a big surprise. And they said, oh, I can't get my money out of the bank. Gee, I never thought it could never happen here.
Now, there's something else, too, which I need to kind of sort of bring up, because everything points at gold and silver. And, for instance, let's say, I'm going to mention this, if there is the economic collapse of the magnitude, which I think which will occur, most insurance companies won't survive. Yes. If you have homeowners insurance, and believe me, you can't replace all the houses for the price of the premium. So if there's a big, massive loss really of housing, your homeowner's insurance ain't going to be there to protect you. Also, you can end up buying a house and wishing to God that you had never bought it there when the whole thing comes apart because the place is dangerous. I would not go out and buy one of these bargain homes because you probably never get clear title to it because of cloud title issues. But if you do get in a situation and things go completely down the tubes, if you have the your assets in the form which you can carry them off, you're going to need to start a brand new life at the other side of the collapse. I think that'd be a very good idea. So there's nothing which I can see which points away from the metals. Nothing. And no, real estate is not safe. There's a thing called the International Property Maintenance Code. Now, Alfred, you and I talked about this when you were in Texas a number of years back, and nobody seems to run with the International Property Maintenance Code, but it's actually the second biggest scam in U.S. history. You can do a search on it. You'll find out it's vaguely worded. It's part of Agenda 21. It's plain pure property theft. Now, I got hit with it hard in Charleston, West Virginia, 2006. I had a third of $1 million house paid for. They like paid for houses, and they came after it. But look into the International Property Maintenance Code, and you're going to think, oh, my God, wherever this is in place, real estate is easily a liability, not an asset. So everything points to the monetary metals. So once again, anything that you say just adds to what I've just said. But even real estate, if it's the wrong piece of real estate, the wrong place, one of the worst things to have happen. And I had a lot of family in West Virginia who lost jobs in West Virginia, and they were stuck with a house in West Virginia. And because things were going all to pieces in the 80s here, after the coal went down the tubes, I was trying to help an awful lot of people sell their houses, but a house can become quite a liability if your job is in Oregon and your house is what you own is in Texas. So I would not go out and buy one of these bargain houses. We have been foreclosed on or whatever. You can't. You probably won't.
But I'll say this. But I would say this. All things considered, if you can buy anything tangible, I believe that precious metals are the best, are likely to be the best investment you can make. But if you can get anything tangible, that may turn out to be a big improvement. It might not be your best. It might not be the best choice to buy the land, to buy the home, to buy whatever. But if you can get something tangible and get rid of those paper dollars you're carrying in your wallet, it may be that that's a good choice. Yeah. Anything tangible is probably better than anything paper or digital.
Absolutely, but I'm going to allude to the rehypothecation issue of paper, because that's what it's going to be, just like that rehypothecated candy. I know it's a little disgusting, but the paper is, that's the worst place to be. But just understand that the best of the best is something that you can pick up and carry with you into new life. Let's say that you're somewhere or another and the occurs and it's a rough part of town and things burn down around you. Buying a house in Detroit was not a good idea 10 years ago, for instance. If you put your assets, your assets into something you can pick up and carry off to your new life at the other end of collapse. I've known this was coming. I bought my little place in the woods, which Diane Vier used as a vacation home for a number of years, back in 1977, because I thought it was going to come apart then. As it is, we're out here in the woods now, and I'm very much at peace and happy. Am I safe out here? No, I'm, I don't know, safer than some. But I know this much is that I am so thankful that I am not stuck with a piece of real estate, which I was pouring tons of money into. And so all I'm saying is the best of the best is something you can pick up and carry into your new life. Maybe after the collapse, your job or your business or whatever is gone, but you can find that you can go someplace or another and do something else. It's much better to have those assets in your pocket to carry off rather than being attached to a piece of real estate. Tangible is good. The best of tangible is the metal. Anything tangible. I'm the guy who keeps saying tools, garden stakes, anything is good tangible. It'll be solid if you don't have it stolen from you. But yeah,
well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to thank you for your call because it's time for us to take our commercial break. And we will try to get something tangible to our folks. We will talk to you another time. All right, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Here on Financial Survival, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We have some more ramifications, implications relative to dollar bills, but I think we'll give them a pass because we have a caller.
We have two callers.
Two? Okay. Yep. Take whichever one you want, Melody.
We have Frank from New Mexico.
Hello, Frank.
Hello. Hello. Hi. Hey.
Hi.
Melody and Alfred. Great show as always. Just want to wish you guys a happy and thoughtful Holy Week and a happy Easter. But I just like back in high school and a pop quiz in physics class, I had a pop quiz for Melody about a coin sort of relating to the dated issue. If you can answer in 7 seconds, I'll send you a genuine simulated gold star. Here's the question, Melody. Can you tell me which gold coin still being issued and sold today has the same date from a few years ago, never changed? 1, 2, 3, 4.
What
five.
Kind of a coin?
Gold, pure gold. 1 ounce of gold. 2, 3, 4.
From this country?
Five.
From this country?
7. Didn't specify that. Oh, okay. Anyway, it was, you know, that Mexican Libertad.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I
should have told you that. But you
remember
that one, don't
you? Yeah, I asked you which country.
Well, it may be one down out of, what was it? Where did they have all that inflation? And I can't even think of the name of it in Africa recently.
Well, you know, Frank, for a very long time in the 90s, it was we never pushed a lot of coins from Mexico because it was always said you never knew what they were made out of. So we never really got in. I love the pesos, just a beautiful design. But for the silver Libertads and so forth, usually, you know, they're so overpriced.
Yeah, I used the wrong term. I should have said a gold coin because it's a, what did you call it? Because I've got one. what's the date, like 47 or something? It's been the same since. I can't remember, but it's a...
Well, what you're touching on right now...
They do that with some of the European coins, so... issue coins with old dates, so it's...
What you're touching on is something relevant to the earlier discussion we had about dollar bills carrying a series number prior or later than 2009. Apparently, what we're beginning to learn is that the series number doesn't associate necessarily with the date that it was issued, but rather the date of the design for that particular dollar bill. And they can continue. They redesign the dollar bill periodically in the different denominations. And I'm looking at one for $1 that was redesigned in apparently 2006. And I've got a $10 that was redesigned in 2006. That was the series number. And there's a 50 that was redesigned in, the last redesign was 1996. Apparently, they've been producing the same design since 1996. Would translate into 17 years right now. But it has different signatures on it. They've got a different Secretary of the Treasury and a different Treasurer of the United States. They have different people on it. But the design of the particular coin apparently is what they're doing with the Libertad you're talking about, and it may be that's what they're doing with the dollar bills also. We'll see if we can find out and get a more definitive answer on this.
I shouldn't have said Libertad. Melody was right. It's a gold coin called, I don't know, the peso. Beautiful coin. And I was just...
Centenario. Isn't it a centenario?
Yeah, how much does one of those cost nowadays? No,
really. Pesos or dollars?
Well, we can start quoting that. If you're looking to buy one, I can give you a call after the program, Frank.
I'll call you all. Thanks
okay.
A lot.
All right.
All right, thank you. Thanks for your call.
We have George from New Mexico. Is that the same caller, Frank?
No.
Are you there, George?
Good afternoon, Mel and Al.
Good afternoon. Who are we talking to for sure here? We don't know. Is this George?
I am George Lee Harris, Jr.
Okay, George.
I'm Hazel Jean and George Lee's baby boy. How are you guys?
Good, good. We don't necessarily need your genealogy on this, George, but we're glad to have you calling on the program. What can we do for you?
Well, number one, I really appreciated the comment you made shortly after the passing of Mr. Bob Chapman. It was a comment about him on your work. And he says, oh, Al, your work was excellent. And as you're prolific as I am, you're like, well, thank you, because you can't remember page and verse. But honoring him and the many pieces of info he has been. Melody, the thing that must never happen between me and you guys is always only the truth. And looking at gold and silver, I see a $20 face value St. Gaudens. But then it's time 100 cents dollar. And if we take an add a zero, we get a $200 coin at a 10 cent dollar. And now we essentially have, and it has been there, a $2,000 coin and a 1 cent dollar. The Fed doesn't need to collapse. The fix is in. And for Barney on the couch, he can watch football, and he can look from zero line to zero line. And if you take and divide $1 million by 20, you get 50,000 gold coins. That's real close to 80,000 thick. So if you stack them up and then lay them down, you have about 320 to 330 feet of $20 St. Gaudens coins. Well, it doesn't take 50,000 of them anymore. It takes 500 of them. So now we are down to from 320 feet for $1 million to what, 32, 33 feet for $1 million. We are now at 3.2 to 3.3 feet. We're done. Al's right. Portable. In my town, our gold and silver salesmen, they're shutting off. They're done. So you need to have something.
Gold
it's not
and
a break
silver
off
salesmen
little...
are shutting down?
Yes, sir. A pawnbroker. Pawnbroker, sir.
Yeah,
he was the only viable counter you could walk into and probably get 80 cents on a dollar of what Melody would charge. You know, they're in there to steal and then sell for, you know, well past 2,600 for what, not even an MS-rated coin.
Do you think do you think the local dealer is out of business because competition has increased or because demand has fallen? And what I mean by that, are there less people doing business with him because they have so many competitors? People are getting wiser is what I'm trying to get. They're not going to take a 20% beating on the coins. They'll call somebody like Melody.
I think there's a difference between a pawn broker and a coin dealer in the city. They're really two different things. A pawn broker, I mean, the coins are really only a part of his business. So you couldn't say it's because whether the people are buying. Yeah, so if he's a pawnbroker, there's
his major trade was in stolen items, and they would be in there at full tick. You can't do that. Not when down the street is a Walmart and an Alco, an Indiana-based store. And now, Alfred, you're absolutely correct. To call this guy a gold and silver broker would have been a misnomer at best, although he did trade in those things. But there is in this town of about 4,000 people, counting the chickens in the outlying county area, there are private people you can go see, and if you have dinner with them and you're an elk, you can see them regularly.
Yeah.
That's the level of trade here. It's becoming private, but that's all right. I remember one day mother coming to the back door with a stack of $10,000 bills complaining what she had to pay for them at the bank. And I says, well, what did you have to give for them? She says, $10,015 each. And she says, because they're convenient. They were gold. It's right after Nixon did what he did. So here we sit, and we must be wise. These two people, Alfred, gives you an assessment that has been praised by Bob Chapman. There could be no higher praise. And Melody, her work, compare the prices. Look at the stuff. She's going to hold a price for you. I guarantee you, she is armed. She is a woman and a mother bear. She will take care. You guys be good. No. I am so glad that we are still all here. I am an Air Force vet, and I was told upon discharge, take the check, stay off the soapbox, and shut your mouth. Well, it's time to open the mouth. Back in 92, we did a worldwide press release that plainly said catalytic converters are obsolete, and we tossed the platinum market for 4 days. And I spoke to a friend who was a broker in London, something Matheson. I said, so what's the deal? He says, oh, I think it's your little paper. And no, we're looking to reopen that. It's a 50-year-old project, and we're fixing it just crack-wise. It'll be obvious. We get to do this well. It'll be a 59 Cadillac on a NASCAR track in Vegas, doing much better than 120 miles per gallon. Hopefully, the driver can live. Thank you again for the opportunity to honor you. One last thing. The Holy Spirit reminded me. The Hebrew, yada, yada, it's yadha, yadha. It means F God. Don't say it. Don't say it, friends. Don't say it.
Doesn't mean it to me.
I'm
just saying it doesn't mean that to me. If I've said it, it's not something. It's not my intended meaning.
I understand. And I love Grant's Pass. I've been where you are, my brother, and I've lived in Montana. Have a great day. And I
you too, George. Thanks very much.
There's no need to defend anything. Your daily work speaks for itself. Continue. And thank you.
Thank you,
George. All right. All right, Melody, we got about 5 minutes left or thereabouts?
Yes, we do. Cyprus is divided in Greek and Turkish parts. Is the Cyprus economic dilemma only found in the Greek part?
I don't know. I think it's found in the money part. They don't care about Greek and Turkish. They care about money. You know, one of the things we've talked about in the past or some of the rumors they've had relative to Cyprus is that President Putin of Russia is going to be very upset about what's happening in Cyprus, right? Because there are allegedly at least $23 billion of Russian money that is sequestered or, you know, deposited in Cyprus. That's one thing. And there are Russian agencies and corporations do business through Cyprus. But it may not be that Putin is as angry as some people suppose. If Putin has some of his own money in the Cyprus bank accounts, he's going to be upset about this. But as president of Russia, if something happens to Cyprus where Russian money is being kept outside the reach, the jurisdiction of President Putin and the Russian government, he's not going to be upset about that, because it may turn out that the $23 billion that's being hidden from the Russian government in Cyprus, where the Russian government can't get at it, now, after the problems they're having, it may be that this $23 billion is going to have to be repatriated to Russia, and then it can be taxed. And it may be that there is, oh, undercover and black market transactions taking place through Cyprus that are being initiated by Russians. Now the Russians that are involved in black market transactions will be less able to conduct those transactions through Cyprus. This may give the Russian government more access to grabbing, taxing, or perhaps even seizing the funds. Hard to say, but I'm trying to illustrate is that this problem in Cyprus, there are so many different ways to look at it and speculate as to what is really going on here and why is this happening, that it's going to be a while before we find out what's true or false, if we ever do. But the one thing that is true is the government of Cyprus and the government of the European Union and the central banks have no problem with confiscating funds that are owned by private, that have been deposited in the banks by private individuals. Right? Confiscation of bank funds has now been approved. And since this started in Cyprus, Italy, Spain, New Zealand, Australia have expressed interest in doing something similar in their own countries. The lesson for anyone who cares to look at it is that first, your money is not safe in your bank account. It's safe from the local cat burglar. Your local cat burglar can't, he might be able to break into your house, but he can't break into the bank. He's not going to get your money out of the bank. But who's the biggest cat burglar in the whole country? And that would be the government, the biggest debtor, the one who's most desperate to seize money, and your funds are not protected from your friendly federal government. This, you might have FDIC insurance against the bank mismanagement. They may insure your funds if the bank does something stupid, but who is insuring your bank account against seizure by the federal government? And the answer is nobody. And as long as that's true, you need to think about it. Do I want to keep my money in a bank account where it could be seized? Or do I want to keep at least part of it in a form like gold or silver where I can keep it out of the banks and it can't be easily seized by computerized, by digital means? So, thing to bear in mind and good reason to think seriously about getting some gold and silver. And we have 15 seconds, Melody.
We got some great Mid-State 62 $5 Liberties. Give us a call, folks, at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. $540. There are a few dollars more than an AU $5 Liberty. I got one. You can buy one or 50 of them, so give us a call. I don't expect these coins to last for very long. It's a great price, and again, they're about $40 cheaper than what a regular Mid-State 62 $5 in Liberty would cost. Certified gold coins, I believe, are the most misunderstood product in the gold area, in the gold community. They have been used, they've been abused, they've been lied about, they've been cheated, and we're here to tell you the truth about it. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, American Survival. And if you have problems listening to the website, you can always listen to our archives that are posted on the website. So sounds like
all
that's
right,
it,
folks, Al. The 15 seconds are up, plus 60 on top of that. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.